Our study tonight is out of Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, Christ's demonstration of his divine authority. Peter Bien claimed that Jesus was a human being, not a unique son of God. And Unitarian minister F. Forrester Church held that Jesus was divine precisely to the extent that we are divine. This is by Josh Simon's article, "Who Was Jesus?" in the December 1994 Life magazine. Obviously, they did not believe that Jesus was the Creator God. Well, Christ's raising a widow's son at Nain in Galilee in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17, reveals Jesus' demonstration of his great divine authority. So we view the event recorded in that passage for our insight, application, and edification. I'd like to look at the passage, and then we'll study it. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. "And it came to pass the day after that Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and many people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, Weep not. And he came and he touched the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus delivered him to his mother. And there came a great fear or a sense of awe on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. And this news or rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea," that would be all the land of Israel, "and throughout all the region round about," that would be the Gentile lands around them. Well, after healing the centurion's servant in Capernaum on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus headed about 25 miles south to the town of Nain in Galilee, where he and a large crowd of followers met a large funeral procession that was proceeding out from the city of Nain, and it was headed for the town's cemetery. Wealthy people often were buried in gardens, but this was not a wealthy situation. So they had the cemetery that was outside of the town, and so they were heading out to the cemetery. Now, the deceased was the only son of a widow, so she was now completely alone and seemingly unprotected without a close male relative in a patristic society. Nowadays, a widow is left, she's got Social Security or Social Security insurance and whatnot many times, and you needed a male relative for physical protection, for financial protection, protection legally. A lot of times, ruthless people would take advantage legally of widows, and they would sue them and seize their property. It was just really a rough time. So she was in a bad way. She had lost her only son, and she was completely vulnerable to the society that was around her. Well, since the funeral procession occurred in Galilee, the women who were related to the dead led the procession because the woman Eve brought death into the world. So the Galilean Hebrews accordingly thought it fitting for women to lead a funeral procession. I picked this up from Alfred Edersheim's book, Sketches of Jewish Social Life. This explains why Jesus met the widow first. She was coming out in front, the women with her, and then behind came the bier, or it was actually a wicker coffin that was open, and the son was being carried on it, the body was being carried on it. But he met the woman first. She was coming out. After all, as you know, Eve was the first one that sinned, and so the Jews felt, well, women brought death into the world, so the women should lead the funeral procession. Whoop-de-doo. But anyway, that's the way they believed in Galilee. Well, upon seeing her and recognizing both her great emotional loss and her anxiety over her own welfare, in view of the loss of her only son, Jesus felt compassion for the grieving widow, and he gently told her, do not go on weeping. It's a present imperative with a me subjunctive, which means stop the weeping. You don't have to weep anymore. Then Jesus walked further back in the procession, because the widow's in front. He walked further back in the procession to the open wicker coffin and touched it. And that caused the pallbearers immediately to stop. Now, there's a reason why they stopped. The pallbearers were shocked by Jesus' action, for it was ceremonial pollution of the worst type to touch the dead or to touch what the dead had touched. And by rabbinism, it was fraught with the most terrible consequences. However, Jesus dreaded not the imagined defilement and brushed away all such useless traditions. A superstitious awe fell upon the great crowd of people who witnessed the event. They were wondering, now what's going to happen? Jesus then addressed the body of the dead son, saying, "Young man, I say unto you, arise." Now, he was a young man. He was, the word son is used earlier, huios. That means a young man. He was he'd had his bar mitzvah. He might have been 14, 15, 16 years of age, but definitely we'd say young man. You wouldn't call him a child. But this, you can see, he was his mother's only hope. Well, dramatically, he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and Jesus delivered him to his mother. I can imagine. I was kidding with Nadine before the service, and I wonder what he said. Like, "Mom, you can't believe what I've been through," or "What in the world am I up here for?" kind of a thing. I don't know, but he began to speak, and he sat up, which means he was fully revitalized. He had a lot of energy. Whatever had slain him, probably an illness of some sort, it was completely gone. Well, a great fear came on everyone present, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet had risen among them and that God had visited his people. Now, that looks like a profound claim, so I did a little bit of study. This profound claim is explained in view of the setting. Now, Elijah had raised the son of the widow of Zarephath. That's a suburb of Sidon, which is north of this area in Galilee. It's up in, according to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 9 through 24. And Elisha had raised the son of the woman from ancient Shunem. And Shunem was located just 2 miles southwest of Nain in Galilee. No, it's just 2 miles. There's a bit of a hill there. Nain is on sort of the northeastern side. You go over the hill towards the southwest, and on the other side of that little knoll, and this is in the valley of Armageddon or Jezreel Valley, was the city of Shunem. It's only 2 miles away. So when these people see Jesus raising this boy from the dead, they're thinking, Elijah, whoop-de-doo, we got a great prophet in our midst. And this is the point. This is why Jesus went down there. You can see how the Lord would have arranged for the death of his son. He's trying to demonstrate that, you know, the former prophets of the head, the prophets of God, everybody believed that they were the prophets of God. There's another prophet of God. And so we need to believe in him. Justifiably, the people of Galilee who witnessed this miracle thus saw its parallel with the resurrections in the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. However, in the resurrections by these two prophets, both of them had stretched their bodies out on the bodies of the dead boys to raise them. But Jesus merely touched the coffin in which lay the dead body and spoke to the dead son to arise. And the dead son instantly sat up and began to speak, unlike the absence of any such activity recorded by the resurrections of Elijah and Elisha. Now, you have the resurrection, 1 Kings 17, verses 18 to 22. Elijah spread himself out on the body of the boy and eventually was raised. Elisha spread himself on the body of the boy and came back. And then the boy, when he came to, he sneezed 7 times. But this young man who was raised, there was no sneezing. He just sits up. He's fully healthy. Wide awake, he starts talking. And all Jesus did is go up there and touch it and command, "And I tell you, arise." So the resurrection that was created by Jesus involved a lot more power and authority than what even Elisha and Elijah had. So though the region of Galilee was identified with the ministries of Elijah and Elisha, because that's where these men worked, and though Jesus, like them, raised the dead son of the widow of Nain, the power and the authority of Christ's miracle involved was far greater than those of these past prophets, eliciting a glowing comment by those who witnessed it. And this glowing report about Jesus spread out into all Judea. Now, the word Judea here that is used, the Greek noun is Judaea. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 17, according to the Art and Gingrich lexicon, this refers to the entire land of Israel. Sometimes it refers just to Judea, which is the southern part of Israel. But not in this context, because this is in Galilee. So he's referring to all of Israel. This went not only northern Israel, but went southern Israel. And this news also spread to the outlying Gentile region around the land of Israel. So this is getting up into Tyre and Sidon. This is probably also getting over on the eastern side. I don't know what nation was there at the particular time. Down to what is known as the area of Jordan now, and probably all the way down to Edom. This is a tremendous news. We have a prophet now who's done something that Elisha and Elijah have never done. He goes up and he touches this, and this is a boy who's dead. I mean, he's so dead, they're carrying him on the procession. They're going to bury him. And he just touches the coffin and says, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And bam, the guy sits up and he starts talking. So this is a tremendous miracle. And Jesus was obviously going out of his way to identify with these former prophets. And he was also demonstrating the superiority of his authority. Jesus spoke the word. So the lesson is, in view of Christ's historical context, in view of Israel's, rather, historical context, Christ's raising of the son of the widow of Nain identified him with godly Elijah and Elisha, but with far superior power and authority to the ministries of those former prophets, as seen in Christ's merely touching the coffin, speaking to the dead to cause him instantly to sit up and to speak. So, in application, may we trust Christ's divine authority over death and the dead, and so hope in our resurrection. See, this has a personal application to us, the rapture. Now, hopefully Christ comes before any of us dies. That'd be a wonderful thing. It'd be wonderful. One of our hymns says, "Oh, what a joy would it be, or what grief, blessing to go without dying." And that's one of our blessed hopes that we hope for. But just in case we do die, we have tremendous hope that we're going to be resurrected in power, the power of God. Our bodies are going to be dramatically changed. We'll never experience death again, never disease, fatigue, all of that stuff is completely gone. No more hormonal imbalances, all of it. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to be with the Lord. But we have the hope that that's going to occur because of what happened here. And, of course, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, they rolled away the stone. The angel rolled away the stone, not to let him out, but to let people in to see that he was gone. He went right through the stone. It's a wonderful truth. The resurrection is given not only to prove that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The resurrection of Christ is given as an encouragement to us, because as he is, so we will be in regards to the resurrection body. So we need not fear death. All death is for a Christian is a temporary inconvenience. It's one we sorrow over because, you know, we're focused mainly on this life. But it's just temporary. But there's a day coming when we're going to be resurrected into the glorious body of our Lord, like our Lord, and share his glory. So our Savior is God, and he's divine. He came with the same authority as Elijah, and Elisha the authority of God. But he is the Son of God, and he demonstrated that by his resurrection. So God help us to rejoice in the assurance that our Savior is God, and in the blessed assurance that we will share the resurrection.